listening to the CCA Podcast.
Well, so glad you're here today. Glad you came out. And I was thinking before I came up here, I spoke just about a year ago this time last year, and I asked you last year when I got up to pray for my neighbor who they had a baby, and who was super, super early, and you prayed, and baby's fine now. Just thought I'd let you know that. It's been a year, so that happened in August, and she came home on like Thanksgiving, so she was really early. And but thanks for doing that. I have a couple other things since I have you here, and I have a captive audience I could use your prayers for. I don't know if everybody gets to do that, gets up front to tell you that. But if you wouldn't mind praying for my mom. My mom's having some issues with her heart, and it's wearing out. And if you could just pray for her, and just the doctors would help her, and things would go well, I would really appreciate that. And one more thing real quick. If you could pray for me and the company that I own and work for, Around the World Yo-Yo, we do school assembly programs. A lot of you know that. We do yo-yo shows in schools. One of the guys that works for me, Marvin, lives in Kentucky, and Marvin's father-in-law died about 6 hours ago. And he was supposed to be in Mississippi doing schools. He's going to do some of them Monday and Tuesday and then go home to be with his wife and all that goes on there. So pray that he would do well, and then we have to reschedule some stuff. So just pray that that would go smoothly. I would appreciate that for your help. That would be grand. We're talking about Jesus, friend of sinners. I like that statement, and I always do this. When I hear that statement, I take the word sinner out, and I replace it with my name, Jesus, friend of John Fox, because I am a sinner. I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I think I've shared some of this in the past with you before, but it might be new for some of you, but I want to tell you a little bit about me, my testimony a little bit. I grew up not too far from here as a kid, kind of South Everett, kind of Linwood, that area. Was born in Swedish Hospital here in Seattle. And I was born into a family that didn't go to church at all. Some of you have grown up in church your whole life. You've always been around that. I basically was a lost boy when I was a kid. Both my grandmothers, my father's mom and my mother's mom, were both great Lutheran people, great Christian people, but they're the only people in my family that were Christians. And so when I was a kid, my parents were very secular. I had no inkling of what church was about. I didn't ever go to church. My family didn't go to church. Christmas to me was presents. Woo, let's go get presents. Easter was candy and the Easter bunny and all that kind of thing. I had no idea what God, how does that even tie into anything, you know? And I didn't know anything about God or know anything about God. And growing up, just not knowing anything about him, it's kind of interesting, your perspective on life. And I remember, so I was born in 1960. And in 1968, with my family, we were watching the Winter Olympics. And there was an ice skater named Janet Lynn. She was an ice skater, and she was a Christian. And they interviewed her after she had skated. And she said, I want to give God the glory and the thanks for the ability to skate and to give me the talent. And I turned to my mother as an 8-year-old lost boy and said, that's stupid. She just practiced a lot. That's why she's good. That's dumb. And I think it kind of took my mom aback because she had actually gone to church as a kid. I think she was kind of floored that her kid was so secular that he didn't even know or care who God was. And I think it kind of freaked her out. Well, I did go to church from time to time, though, as a kid, with my grandmother, who lived in Ballard, just down the street from here. She attended Our Redeemer Lutheran Church over on 85th, right? It's just a couple miles down the road from here. And I would go with her. I have two cousins and my brother. My sister was born later, so the four of us, Grandma would let us rotate and stay at her house because she loved us. And one of the deals was, though, you had to go to church. You'd come over, like, get dropped off on a Friday, and then you'd stay Saturday, and Sunday you go to church, and then you go home. So I'd go to church with Grandma at Our Redeemer's Lutheran, and I had no idea what it was about. It was so foreign to me. Why are we going here? What's this about? You know, and the choir would wear big robes, and but the thing that I pondered on all the time there is, just like here, they had some stained glass windows. And now if you ever go over there, there's three of them at the very front of the church. The middle one is a stained glass of a man on a cross. And I used to sit there as a little kid, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and I'd think, why would someone do that to somebody? What did he do? Man, that's really mean. And my job was just to try to be quiet, and my grandma would give me gum and candy, you know, to keep me quiet and just behave and stuff. And it never clicked. I never understood what that was or why it was. And I just kept going on in life. And then we moved when I was 11. We moved to Eastern Washington, where I grew up in my teenage years. And my mother was kind of looking for the meaning of life, trying to figure out what was going on. And she went back to church, to a little country church. She walked in one day and became a Christian. And so now she has these little lost boys running around in her family, and what do you do with them? And she invited me to church, and I'm like, no way, that's boring. I've been there. And until one day in the summer, I was really bored, and I said, yeah, I'll go to church with you. And so I went to church, and I sat there, and for the first time, I heard the message in a way that clicked with me. And I believe that God, through his Holy Spirit, and because of the things I had heard over there down the road here in Ballard, it all kind of came together. And so the first time I was at that church, the pastor asked, if you want to become a Christian, come forward. And I did. Just boom, just like that. And my life changed. And I went from being a little lost boy to being a Christian boy. And it's interesting how God changes us. And here's what we're talking about this week. We're talking about the title of our message today is Break Our Heart for What Breaks Yours. That's the title of the message. And we're going to be really basic today, and we're going to take ourselves down a road here and talk about what God really gets excited about, and we'll get that to the end. But I want to start with this. My first point, and it's in your notes today, my first point is this. I am a sinner. I know that's not politically correct to say sometimes, but I'm sorry, it's true. And when I was 11, 12 years old, I knew that I had done many things wrong. Okay, I had lied before, I had cheated before, I had punched my brother several times. I lit a stump in the backyard on fire one time and got in trouble with the fire department. I had done wrong, I knew that I was a sinner. And at 11 years old, I knew that I had done wrong and I knew that I needed help. And that's just the way it is. And God's pretty smart about that. God knows that we know. It says in the Bible in Romans chapter 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's built in you that you know that you need help. We do wrong. I have a friend who lives in South Dakota, and I get to see him every once in a while because I go do schools there. I get to see him, in fact, this September, who's a counselor, and he's a really good counselor. And I love him. He's a dear friend, but sometimes I call him up, and I say, hey, Jonathan, take off your friend hat and put on your counselor hat because I need some help. Like, this is hard. What do I do? And he's super great, and he helps me. But I know that my life sometimes is still broken because I'm a human. And even though I've been saved and sanctification has happened and God has changed me, sometimes I still am working through some stuff. So I know I'm a sinner, and I know my name can be replaced for that word sinner, Jesus, friend of John. So that's really important for me to know. Number two is this. We are all sinners. So now I'm getting personal with you, right? So now I'm calling myself one. I'm calling you one now, okay? You're a sinner. And to be honest with you, you know that to be true. You know that is true because you live inside that head of yours, and you know what's going on there. It is interesting, as we look in the Bible, it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. God doesn't mix a lot of words in the Bible. He says that we are all sinners. It is true, and we know that to be a fact. If you are honest with yourself, you know that that is true, and you know that you can replace your name in that sentence, Jesus, friend of sinners. You could put your name in there too, and I think you know that. I had a friend. He passed away. He was a friend and a mentor to me. His name was Dr. Fulton Buntain. He was a pastor at Life Center in Tacoma, a great church for years. And Dr. Buntain used to say this, and I love this saying because it's so true. He said oftentimes, he said that everybody is dysfunctional. It's just that some of us are better than hiding it than others. And that's the truth. You know that we all struggle with a certain thing. So sin is always something we're battling against. It's always in us. So we're not extra special because we don't ever go through it. We still do. And that is very true. I find it fascinating to me, and this boggles my mind, how compassionate we as humanity can be sometimes, and then the next day how utterly horrible we can be. It drives me crazy. I don't like the local news because I think they have silly things on there, but I like the national news. And I watch it, and sometimes I want to get up and cheer humanity, and other times I want to lay down and just cry because we're idiots. And it just drives me crazy watching the news because that's that good and bad, and it's going back and forth all the time. I have this is a late addition to the sermon, so you're not going to find it on the overhead there, but I wanted to read it to you. It just came in at the last minute here, but it's a quote from one of my oldest daughters here. One of her favorite literary writers, C.S. Lewis, says this, and this is a great quote. Human history is the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. That is history right there. That's human history, and C.S. Lewis is right. So let's be honest. We all know that we need God. We all know that our life would be a mess without him. Many of us in this room today follow Christ, and God helps you, and you know that he helps you. If you would take him out of your life, you know it would be a train wreck. And thank God that he's there to help us. We all tend to do some stupid things sometimes. Stupid's easy for us. It comes natural. I did something really dumb the other day. It's been warm here in Seattle, right? Kind of hot lately. And some of you are going to hate me for this, but I love it hot, man. Give me 90, 100 every single day, baby. Let's go hot all the time. I love hot. I live in the wrong part of the country. But it was hot, and you know it's been hot. And like many, we don't have air conditioning in our house. You know, a lot of you probably don't. But we have one air conditioner. It's this little one-room air conditioner. And it sits in our garage until somebody can't stand it and asks to use it. And so my middle daughter's room catches sun in the morning. It gets really hot really fast. And she said, Dad, could you please, she hadn't gone to college yet. She could please put the air conditioner in my window. Okay, we'll get the air conditioner. So we go down. Now, the air conditioner is only like this big, but those things are heavy. You know, they're really big. They're heavy. So we got it. Now, she lives on the second story, so let's remember that. That's an important part of this story. And her window slides this way, not this way. And these air conditioners are really great for windows that go this way because you set it in the window, then you put it down, and it locks it in there, and then you're ready to go. Okay, but we got a window that goes this way. So we put So I put it in the window, closed it sideways, kind of locked it in there, had a bracket, put it on there. But that leaves a big gap between the top of the air conditioner and the top of the window. So I got this big hole here. So I went out and I cut a piece of plywood, size of the hole. I brought it up there, and I'm fitting it in there so that it keeps it cool. And as I'm fitting in there, something goes wrong, and over the side it goes. There it goes, down the second story. And I watched it, man. I saw the cord come out last, and I saw it go down. And it landed on Grandpa's deck. Grandpa lives with us, okay? So it hit Grandpa's, boom! It was like 9 o'clock at night. Grandpa came out in his underwear to see what was going on. My son said, man, Dad, if Grandpa was here, you'd have killed him, man. I said, I know, but it was 9 o'clock at night, so I knew he was asleep. We wouldn't kill Grandpa, so it was okay. So, and Amanda immediately runs over to me. She goes, Dad, plug it in. See if it still works, please. So we plugged it in. It didn't work. Not at all. In fact, it's not even the same shape anymore. It used to be kind of rectangular. It's kind of oblong now, and it doesn't work at all. So it's broken, okay? You and I are broken. And so don't do stupid things. Do your best not to sin. And especially, this is important as a church, don't hurt others like I hurt the air conditioner, okay? Don't do that to people. Be careful to be what God wants you to be. That's really, really important. There's a great saying. It goes like this. It goes like this. It's one of my favorite sayings. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We are all the same. Doesn't matter what you did, where you came from, who you are. It's all the same to God. So that's really important. And I want to be honest with you. Sometimes as a church person, when I look at people that mess up a lot, I get really frustrated and jaded sometimes. And to be honest with you, I have a brother-in-law who's a drug addict, and he drives my wife and I crazy because he manipulates us. He manipulates other people. He drives us nuts. And it's made me to where I don't want to help him anymore or help other people like him. I just get mad. But I can't do that. And I still have to try to reach out and help him. We still try. And my wife is really good at that, and I'm not, but she's really good to keep doing that. And we're trying. And so we need to make sure that we don't get jaded and we don't see people in the wrong way. We got to see them in the right way as people that need Christ. We who are Christians need to be extra careful to always treat people with dignity and compassion. That is so important. So important. Jesus never got mad at sinners for sinning, but he did get mad at religious people for being hypocrites. So don't be that. That's the danger of being in the church. We can't ever get to that place. There's a saying that, you know, some people see things through rose-colored glasses, and that's kind of a negative connotation, because what we're saying is that you're kind of naive. You don't really get it. But I think we need to see people through Jesus' rose-colored glasses, because I think he sees them for what they could be, not what they are. And I think that's how we as a church need to see people from the outside and see how people who need Christ. That's really, really, really important. So we've covered some ground here, basic stuff. I'm a sinner. One, you're a sinner. And the other thing I want to say about that too, and cover some of this, it just because your sins are forgiven, it doesn't make us any better than anybody else. So we kind of covered that too in that little setting right there. So we can't look over our nose at anybody. But the fourth thing is, so if we get all this stuff, we know all these things about us and sin, we get to this fourth thing, and this is what my fourth point is. It says, let's make the big list of sins, and then we won't do them anymore. Now, that's sarcasm, folks. That's not a true statement whatsoever, okay? Because we've tried to make the big list of sins before and show it to everybody, and it hasn't worked whatsoever. I'd like to illustrate for you why it doesn't work. I'm a bicycle rider. I love to ride my bicycle. We all have different things we do to kind of vent or relax. Pastor Steve likes to go up in the mountains. You know, when you hear him talk about that, he just lights up. Get me on my bicycle. I feel great. I can ride. I have a great time. Now, I've learned a few things. I try to stay off the road as much as possible and on the bike trails because it's much safer. When I'm on the road, the car is big, I am small. But when I'm on the bike trail, I am big and the pedestrian is small. I'm the bigger guy, okay? So I try to get on the bike trail where it's safer. But I have learned that people on bike trails who are walkers do incredibly stupid things. And I made a list for them to help them. So if you walk the trail, I have a list for you. In fact, someday I'm going to publish a book. I've already entitled it for you. The book is going to be entitled this, Please Hit Me. A guide for walkers on a bike trail, okay? And let's make it really clear, okay? We're talking about bike trails that walkers can use. We're not talking about walking trails that bikers use, okay? The trails are for us. Those of us are bike riders. That's the most important thing there, okay? So know that. So here we go. First of all, number one thing. Don't be on your smartphone when you're on the bike trail, okay? Number one, it's stupid, but you're out in the middle of God's creation on a trail. Why are you on your phone texting or looking at the internet? Just put the thing away for crying out loud. It's just, it's not that important, okay? You aren't that important, okay? Put it in your pocket. It's all right. So don't be on your phone. Number two, this is a good one. And this may have happened to some of you who ride a bike. If you're a dog walker, okay, and you got that really cool leash that like goes way out there and then you can suck it back in, don't be on this side of the bike trail. Let that dog go diagonal and have that 20-foot thing stretched out in front of there. So when I come around the corner, I'm going to run into your little rope thing there because I'm going to hurt me, you, and your dog. And that wouldn't be a good thing. And why people do that, I don't understand. It drives me crazy. It's like, just don't have that thing. Get a regular leash or something. Number three, my favorite one. If you're in love, don't walk down the middle of the bike trail holding hands just all in la-la land, okay? Watch where you're going for crying out loud. Because if you do that, I will want to hit you. You know, I will want to run over you because you're just being so silly. It drives me crazy. Don't do that to me. And you don't pay attention at all. It drives me nuts. Number four, if you meet a friend on the bike trail as you're walking along, don't stop in the middle of the trail to visit. Why do you do that? People just, hey, Fred, how you doing? Let's talk right here in the middle. And let's talk for a long time because we haven't seen each other for like 2 days, you know. It's like, get off to the side, knock it off. That would be a big help. Number five, this is a good one. This happened to me the other day. It still makes me shake my head. don't get mad and yell at me that this is trail is only for walkers when 20 bikes just went flying right by you, okay? That's what, show me the sign and I'll get off the trail, but it's for bikers and walkers. I had this couple about my age walking their dogs that were screaming at me, it's for walkers only. And then 20 guys just flew through on their bikes. I'm like, you know, I wanted to, and I didn't say this. I wanted to go, you'd be riding a bike if you were in shape, but you can't do it. But I thought I wouldn't do that. That would be very mean, and I didn't do that. So I was good, but it blows my mind. People are interesting. Number six, this is a good one too. If you're a mom and you have like a newborn baby or a young baby or a toddler, and you, especially you suburban moms, okay, if you and your friend, you or two of your friends decide to go for a walk on the trail with the strollers, don't go down there three abreast, man. That's just not a good thing, okay? There they go, just down the middle, having fun. Because here's what you're doing, all right? You're going down three abreast, leading with the child that you love. I round a corner, the first thing I hit is your kid. I'm running him down. And it's your fault, okay? Don't go three abreast, you know, go single file. The problem is they can't talk to each other. That's the problem. They have to yell at each other, and they want to be close to each other. So those are some things. Now, let's make sense of all this. Everything I just said there makes sense, right? It all makes sense. My book would be a bestseller, I think. But here's the deal. People ignore those rules all the time, whether it's they just don't think about it or they're in love. Or the dog just got, it happens all the time. So as much as we could say, let's make a big list, and God does have lists in the Bible, and that could be a whole other series of sermons down the road, but he has lists, but just because we have lists doesn't make people not do it. And that's the issue we have today. People still go to the list and do the list. Now, the list comes into play when something happens to us, and this something has been happening to you and I and humanity since the beginning of humanity, and it is illustrated really well in the Bible. What does the list come down to? When does it come into play? Point number five. We start doing wrong, or the list, when we tell God we are smarter than him. That's when we get ourselves in trouble. And the Bible speaks to it, and what I'd like to do right now, I didn't put it on the overhead. You can turn to your Bible if you'd like to the passage. I'd like to just read it to you because the Bible tells it so well. It's Genesis chapter 3, verses 1. It's a story of Adam and Eve, and I'd like you to just listen to it. It says this, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day and hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Well, God's all of a sudden going, how did you know that? And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave it to me. Oh, we're blaming other people, aren't we? That's what we do. She gave me that thing, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate it. So Adam and Eve, with a little help from the serpent, were the first people to say, hey, God, you know what? We're smarter than you. We can do this better than you. And that's when the whole thing went south. And that's when the list becomes involved. When you and I say to God, God, I got this figured out better than you. I know what I'm doing. Man, that's when you start playing with the list. And that's when the list grows and people's lives get to be really messed up. There's another some verses in the Bible I want to read to you today. This is one of my favorite stories, and it's told by Jesus, and nobody tells a story better than Jesus. It's Luke chapter 15, it's verse 11. It says this, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered all his wild living, his wealth on wild living. Now, young people in the audience today, let me give you a warning sign here. This is really, really important. If you have a good dad, and lots of you do, and you come to him with some preposterous, idiotic scheme, and he says, let's do it. Don't do that. That's a really bad thing. Because he is setting you up to teach you a big time lesson. So this young man said, Dad, I got the plan here, man. You got so much money. Give me my part now, and I'm going to go and just have some fun. Sure, son, let's do that. That's a really bad idea. So. But he did it, and off he went. And so there he was in this country. It was all messed up. He squandered all his wealth. And after he spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Now, that is the story of a young man who decided, you know what? I'm smarter than my father. It's a great illustration because he was not smarter than his father. Folks, we are not smarter than our father, our heavenly father. We need God's help. We are not that smart. We need him every single day. God is there to love you, and there is happiness when you let him help you. One of the coolest things happens in life, and especially in spiritual life, when somebody goes back to their father and says, I was wrong. It gets us to point number 6. Heaven rejoices when the lost one comes home. I want to finish the story that Jesus told you. Listen close. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said, this is a wise son now, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And what happened to the son? The son realized his father was smarter than him. And he came back and he said, I am lost. Forgive me. Help me. And that's the greatest thing you can ever do as a human being. And that is why it says in the Bible that every time that happens, that heaven rejoices because somebody figures out with God's help that they need the Lord in their lives. The Holy Spirit touches them, and they come to their father and say, I need you. I am not smarter than you. The list is killing my life. I need to come back and do what you would have me to do. And that's what we need to do as a church. We need to be focused outward to people that need Christ. There are so many that do. There are so many like what you used to be like or what I used to be like. And they're not horrible, bad people. They just need to hear in a way that makes sense to them, that they would be able to follow the Lord. God doesn't ask you to change him. God just asks you to tell him, and then the Holy Spirit changes him. So what do we do as a church? We have to be always outward focused. There is a message and a response for the church in that story that Jesus just told. I want to finish it for you. This is our warning as a church. We need to be careful of this part. This is really important. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what he was doing, or what was going on. Your brother has come home, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. What a brat. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and you never did anything or never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me, a lot of me's and I's in this thing, even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you will kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate, to be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. So we can't be the church that just looks inside and just, oh, we got this neat little place here. Here we go. Let's just hang out. You got to go out. And you can't get mad at people for sinners or for being sinners or doing wrong, because that's what they do. That's what you used to do. And that's why Jesus came, to save those that were lost. In the first service, we did a little honoring thing. She's not here today, but I'm the president of the Alumni Association of Northwest University. Started in this church in 1934. And a lady goes to our church. Her name is Eva Wang. And Eva's 93. Eva's super cool. Eva's one of my favorite people. She has been on my alumni board at Northwest University since I've been there. It's 16 years now. And she called me the other day and she said, I love working with you guys, but I think it's time for me to retire. And how do you tell someone at 93 they can't retire, okay? You know, you've kind of earned your dues, you know. And so we had Eva, we did a little honoring thing for her today, and I told Eva in this little thing we did this morning in the first service that I have lots of goals in life. One of my goals is this, that I will always be doing something to help others in my life, no matter how long I'm around, no matter how old I get. I want to just always be doing something in my church or for my university. I want to be moving forward. I want to be doing, because I don't want to just sit back and do nothing. And my friend Eva is the role model for that. I mean, she's 93. I think I better retire. Okay, great. So she does that, and I was so proud of her, and we honored her. But I got to thinking this. So way back in the day when I was going to Our Redeemer's Lutheran over here in Ballard, just down the street. So that was 1966 through 1971, okay? Well, I was doing that. Eva was here. Eva's a little older than me, obviously. And she was here. So Eva and I, we were probably sent many times a couple miles apart, 2-3 miles apart. And I'll bet you anything, because I know Eva, that if somehow God would have brought our paths across each other, me as a 6 or 7, 8-year-old kid and her as an adult, I bet you if the opportunity rose, Eva would have told me about the Lord if she had the chance. Or I bet you if I'd have walked through this church door, that she would have done the same if she had the opportunity. And that's the kind of people we need to be. People that are always doing, always going, always reaching, always meeting the needs of other people. So as we look at what really makes God happy, what really makes God happy and causes a party in heaven to go on is when somebody comes to the Heavenly Father and says, man, I screwed up. I'm sorry. I need you to direct my life. I want to follow you. Forgive me of my sins. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So let's just have a word of prayer today, and we'll be finished today. But Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that, Lord, we can come today. And Lord, the Bible tells us so many important things. Lord, you're so amazing, so smart. You're infinite. You're infinite. But Lord, everything you say just it makes sense. You're just so down to earth. Lord, we have all been in need of you. And maybe you're out there this morning. Maybe you look at your life and you say, "Man, I relate to that lost boy thing you went through." Maybe you're feeling lost out there. That maybe you've been telling God, "Hey, I can do this myself. I'm smarter than you." maybe even all over that list. God is here today just to love you and let you know that he cares for you, and he would love to throw a party in heaven for you if you want to just say, God, I need you. I need you in my life. Forgive me of my sins. If that's you today, as you just sit there, tell God that. Say, God, come into my heart. Help me to follow you. Guide me. I'm not that smart. I need you every day. Or maybe you know God and you've loved him and you've served him for many years and you're here. Let us focus. Focus our lives outward and not inward. Help us to see people for who God they can be and what you want to do in their lives. Help us to love others and reach out. Help us affect the world that we live in. Lord, for we were all lost at one time. You found us all. We thank you for that. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for loving us and guiding us in all we do. In Jesus' name.